Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, hey, hey.
Because if you weren't a homeschooler before, you are now.
And I can hear
good to be
a lot
back
of you.
In.
I'm hearing some stuff blowing back at me. We'll see what happens. I lost the connection here. Hold on, everybody. I'm live. I'm back in the studio. I'm connected. So hopefully we'll stay connected here on the radio. I'm not sure. And I'm definitely kind of tired. So anyway, it's good to be back. I was out of town, left early Friday morning, got back a little while ago, was out in Tennessee visiting my mother, and my one sister and her husband lived there. My other sister's spending some time there. And so that was nice. But obviously, when I left early Thursday morning, things just continued to spiral downhill. Thursday or Friday night, and then Saturday night, Sunday night, and then of course, it just keeps going Monday and Monday night. I was, for some of you on Facebook, if you are a friend on Facebook or follow the Facebook page, the Steve Noble Show Facebook page, which I hope you go there and like it. And that's an easy way, by the way, to jump in here with us on Facebook Live. You might have noticed something strange this morning on my personal page, which is the first page I had. You know, most of us have a personal page. But you might have noticed this morning on my personal page, I wrote a really lengthy post that I put up at about 4:30 in the morning. And something woke me up, and I just haven't been getting a lot of sleep the last few nights, and probably many of you are in the same boat. As we've been watching this descend into chaos and madness, there's so many, like the COVID situation, there are so many different angles to what's going on here in America with this. And so today, normally we would, yesterday if I was on the air, normally we would have done a full Money Monday, the first Monday of the month. So we're not doing that. We pushed that off till next week. We are going to talk to David Fisher in the fourth segment today. Then tomorrow I'm going to do a call-in show because I want to have that conversation with you. And open up the lines, and I might do a African Americans only call-in show. I do that occasionally tomorrow. I'm not sure yet. I'm going to be praying about that and see what the Holy Spirit leads me to do. Then Friday, I'm trying to do the show with Bishop Wooden and his son-in-law, Pastor John Amanchukwu, because they're trusted friends, and obviously we are all a little different in terms of our pigmentation, so I want to have that conversation. And we'll continue to have these conversations. For those of you that have been a part of the show for a while, you know I've never been afraid to go down the road of talking about racial issues. And that's why every once in a while when these white cop, black man shootings occur, that sometimes we do black callers only. And because everything we get most of the time is filtered through the media, whether it's the right media, which isn't a whole lot, but basically Fox, and then talk radio and some websites, and then the left media, the mainstream media, everything gets filtered through there. So you generally don't get any kind of raw information because journalism's dead, right? So we've done that time and time again. And as we watch this, again, there's so many different angles here. I'm always going to be willing to tell you pretty much exactly what I'm thinking. And sometimes rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, and sometimes you don't like it. And sometimes it's more often than not I upset people on the left because I'm very conservative theologically and politically. But sometimes I upset people on the right, too, and I'm not afraid to criticize the president tell you when he's disappointed me. And that's a bit of a roller coaster ride. And so I'm just going to be working through a bunch of things here today and sharing things with you. But you'll notice that I did write that. That was about 4:30 this morning. I'm going to share that in the third segment. And I kept coming back to it. You know, it's one of those things that I think we all have to be very careful right now on social media. A meme here, a video there, and a big vision how things can pivot with these things. And so to find out what they're doing and how they're caring for these young men. Alan Hahn and Bruce Mack are back in the studio from Iron Academy, ironacademy.org. Gentlemen, how are you? Welcome to the strangest of days.
Absolutely.
Very well. Thank you for having us.
It's totally bizarre.
It is weird.
I mean, I'm sure you didn't start this school year last fall thinking you'd be online, but yet here you are.
Yep.
No, this is not what anybody prepped for, right?
No, not at all. I mean, nobody prepped for this, but this is what we're doing. So how did you guys react? I mean, the word comes down. Did the governor's office, was it Wake County? How did you guys kind of get put into this scenario where you have to actually shut the doors at Iron Academy?
All right, good question. So we had the option early on not to. Wake County shut down maybe a week or two before we did. We kept going, but it started to look more obvious like we should, because we're always wanting to do the prudent thing.
And sure.
I know we don't use that word very often, but what's the wise thing to do? You don't want to be wrong about this situation. So we decided that we would do the same thing. We went to school Monday, maybe 2 weeks after Wake County shut down, and we said, all right, our students are going to have one day off. We'll consider it a makeup day for them. I need them to make up any work. We're going to do a day of staff training to finish on some of the software we already had. And we started school back the next day remotely, and so we missed one school day, and we haven't missed a beat since.
Man, so how do you, Bruce, when that came up, because you're one of the head professors there at Iron Academy, what was your first thought? All of a sudden, wow, we're going to shut the doors.
Well, when it had been 2 weeks that we'd been looking at the rest of the school system shutting down, so your idea is that at some point you are going to probably have to do that. So I would say that we all were talking about it in the hallways and meeting together in small groups as teachers and, okay, how will we handle this when it comes? And so when we finally made the decision, when Alan decided we're going to have to do this, this is what we're going to do, I don't think anybody really was shocked. We had been looking around in the back of my mind. I was thinking, well, okay, how would I handle school if I couldn't come back to school?
Yeah, yeah.
How would we do the internet? And I was thinking, well, my materials will allow me to do what I need to get done. The students already know the program all the way through to the end of the year. I've already have that completely laid out. So if I'm out a day or if they miss internet service or whatever, they know what to make up so that they've got it ready the next day. So there should be no reason for them not to be able to do this.
So, Alan, what day did you actually close the doors? And then you guys were online the next day.
Yes. Yeah.
And so what became the priorities? Like, how are we going to do this? Because it's obviously a different scenario, but you've got a lot of the young men in Iron Academy that were homeschooled before, so it wasn't totally foreign to them, but not all of them. So what changes about what you do at Iron Academy? And let's back up a little bit and just explain to people that may not be familiar with what Iron Academy is all about.
Well, that will put some of this in perspective. So we are an all-male school. We are focused. If we had only one thing to be try to be really great at, it would be the biblical manhood development that we do with the families in the local church. After that, it's leadership development, and obviously we have an all male.
All right, for those of you on the radio, I have no idea when I lost my connection. I've been working some things here in the studio, switching some stuff, new computers. But by the way, if you want to pray for us, pray as we are looking for a new studio home over here over the next 60 to 90 days, and that will allow me to make the studio into something that's like my studio as opposed to borrowing the studio that we have out here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which we're very grateful for over the last three and a half years. But looking for our own studio, that's not easy. It's not cheap. It's very difficult. You can't just pick up tomorrow and go somewhere. Now, I could go home tomorrow and do the show from there tomorrow, but on Facebook Live, I don't want to engage you on Facebook Live from my sunroom. So pray for that. So that's why we had some technical difficulties. So back to this thing about the police. And again, I'm all over the map today. Okay, I think we all are. I'm just willing to do this stuff on the air and do it live and have this conversation just to process. I'm a verbal processor. So I work through this stuff, and I'm going to ask you the same thing. I'm going to ask you to do me the same favor that a couple of my brothers out here that have been at the seminary, one's not here anymore, friends of mine happen to be African-Americans, work on the diversity initiative, some kingdom things out here at the seminary, and one's still here, one isn't. And years ago when we started doing some radio shows together, I said, listen, I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm thinking. I'm going to walk through these things with you. I'm going to tell you what I think, and I want you to tell me what you think too. But here's the deal. Since all three of us, two black guys and one white guy, since all three of us are believers in Jesus Christ, I'm going to count on the grace that he's placed in you to go with me here, because it's like all three of us are learning how to dance and we all have left feet and we're going to be stepping all over each other's toes, but we're going to make progress because we're going to stay in the conversation as difficult as it is, we're going to stay in the conversation because we love each other, but we love the Lord more. And so let's not be so cowardly, whether you're black or white or whatever, as to not stay in the conversation. But on the social media stuff, man, slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen, and I am the chief offender of that. Okay? Hothead, redhead, radio person, outspoken, bold, blah, blah, blah. None of it's an excuse for when I'm unloving or condescending or go off half-cocked. None of it. Okay? I'm just throwing some stuff against the wall for us to work through. And then something that I wrote about 4:30 this morning, I'm going to share with you in the third segment, then we'll talk to David Fisher and change subjects. And because the economy's doing crazy things, and that affects people too, and all of this matters. But I was asking that question. It's just a test for all of us. You know, nationwide, what percentage of police would you say are bad? Overbearing? Racist? Not necessarily the same thing there. Racist, overbearing, not fit for duty, not fit for the office, anger issues, lack of self-control. Because I've talked to some people in law enforcement, and it's getting harder and harder for them to find quality people because we've seen a kind of a degradation of respect for police. Plus, it's a nightmare job. You go look. You want to sacrifice your family on the altar of your job? Go be a cop, because their divorce rates are about 75%. It's a nightmare, total nightmare. And then, you know, now you got a camera on you. Everybody's watching you. Everybody's a producer and a filmmaker now. And all that pressure. And then the COVID-19 stuff. Pressure, pressure, pressure. Now, I could be an abandonment theology guy, and this all makes sense. Hey, birth pains. God's just saying to America, you guys have it your way. Do it your way. You don't want my help. You guys are going secular. Fine. I go back to the founding fathers, and they talked about self-government only works for a religious and moral people, and that's evaporating. So of course self-government won't work. If we're walking away from religion and morality, i.e. Judeo-Christian, biblical Christianity, that's the history of America, as imperfect as it is. You walk away from that, what do you get? Self-governance evaporates, and you get chaos, and you get Antifa, and you get white fascist groups. And you get angry black men and angry white men. That's what you get. And we'll wholesale slaughter, call it legal, call it a choice, 60 million children since 1973. Chattel slavery, Jim Crow, civil rights, go on down the road, sexual revolution. What do you expect? Really? And so there's, and I'll get to this in the third segment when I read this. You know, I want heaven on earth, and I want it now. And I can come at this and say, you know what the answer is? It's not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. It's the gospel. And that is ultimately true and at the root of it all. But we live in a functional world as well, in the material world, not just the spiritual world. But let's go back to this police thing just for a second. I was just working through these numbers, and because I'm trying to be open-minded. Don't let that phrase trigger you. But I think one person on Facebook Live thinks only 2% of cops are bad nationwide. Okay, I'll play with that number, 2%. Ready for this? Do you know how many sworn-in police officers there are in the United States of America today? Do you have any clue? I'll give you the answer. 750,000. 750,000. 1% would be 7,500. Okay, 1%. 7,500. 2%. I'll go with that 1% on Facebook Live. 2% cops are bad. There's 750,000 nationwide. That means there's 15,000 bad police that all of us, let's just say all of us would say scumbag, mixed up, a mess, out of control, racist, whatever, they shouldn't have a job. 15,000 police nationwide fit that, and that's only 2%. See, I'm a numbers guy because numbers and facts don't care about my feelings. They don't care about yours. So 15,000 because there's 750,000 sworn in police officers across all 50 states in America. So if 2% of them are bad, that's 15,000 cops divided by 50 states. That means there's 300 cops, nightmares waiting to happen. But then you got to do it by density, right? So there's more in New York. There's more in Atlanta. There's more in Chicago. There's more in LA. You got to go density. Where's the population? So then you got to concentrate that. Probably not a big issue in North Dakota, South Dakota, Oklahoma, whatever. Although Oklahoma City is pretty bad in deaths per million. So let's just spread it out evenly. 300 nightmare, racist, over-the-top, bad cops in America. And that's just 2%. I would be thrilled with that. 98% of our police force are solid people that we can trust, anybody can trust, regardless of your skin color. That would be awesome. So the only reason I'm bringing that up is if you think it's zero, your head's in the sand. If you think it's 50%, you're way too skeptical. A few years ago, I did a Black Callers Only show, and I don't remember which death it was. And by the way, Lisa on Facebook Live, yes, there are good cops all over the place. All over the place. That's like, you got to be careful. This is just like, hey, all Muslims, they're all crazy. No, about 20% of them are. 20% of them are fundamentalist Muslims around the world, but out of 1.3 billion, that's 260 million people. That's an issue. Is every homosexual a radical? No. Is every white guy a racist? No. Is every black guy hate white people? No. Be careful. But if we only had 2% of the police in America were really, really bad and shouldn't have a job as of like yesterday, I'd be thrilled with that. But it's still 15,000 people. Right? It's serious. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. This is just working through it here. This is all very fresh, okay? It's all very fresh. So who's out there? Who's doing this stuff? I've been looking at this for a few days. I made a list. Yeah, the protesters, most of whom at this point are during the day are calm, seem to be under control, and I appreciate their protesting, and I agree with why they're protesting, specifically about George Floyd. But then you look at all the other things, racism, the history of racism in this nation, all of that stuff. You can't baptize it away. It doesn't go away. You have to own it. But then I'm not so far down the road that I say the entire country was designed and scheduled to let's figure out to build a nation and build our wealth while subjugating black people in perpetuity. Because I can take you to a whole lot of founding fathers' writings where they really struggled. Many of them really struggled with it. And then all these people saying, hey, I'm all about the Judeo-Christian ethic, but I'm okay with slavery. What are you kidding me? And then when Jefferson wrote the first draft of the Declaration of Independence, he had a couple of short paragraphs in there dealing with slavery, and they got rid of it. They struck it out. Why? I was just talking about this on the break on Facebook Live. So if you want to hear me pontificate and share more over the breaks, you got to do that on Facebook Live, the Steve Noble Show on Facebook Live. Why? Because they can't. How are we going to get 9 out of 13 colonies to ratify this new constitution if we get rid of slavery all at the same time? Sit there and go, that's not going to happen. That was a pragmatic move and heartbreaking and disappointing. And then they said, we'll punt for 20 years. But then it didn't really get solved, chattel slavery anyway, until the 1860s and the Civil War, where we killed 750,000 of us. The North versus the South, the War of Northern Aggression, the War to Free the Slaves, whatever you want to call it. No other country on the planet, to speak in general terms, sacrificed 750,000 of its own people, most of them being white, in order to deal with the slavery issue. Does that matter? Does that erase it? No. But does it matter? Yeah, I think it does matter. And again, that's just one more thing I put on the table, say, okay, we all need to kind of work through this stuff. It's not 100% this or 100% that. Life is rarely that simple. Who goes to heaven? You got to have Jesus. I can go 100% black and white on that one. But a lot of the things, it's much more nuanced because the world's so messed up. So there's some good protesters out there. There's some bad protesters out there. There's Antifa all over the place at this point because they're just crazy revolutionary anarchists who want to burn it all down. Talk about evil and destructive and broken and just satanic to the core. And Antifa just jumps on that. They're all bad and almost exclusively white. Then you've got looters and vandalizers. Antifa is mostly the vandalizers, breaking stuff. But there are some African-Americans in there. breaking windows, and then the looting from all the... I've watched video ad nauseum for the last 5 days. You've got looters, and a lot of them are just regular African-Americans who just, you know, hey. But then there is a mall, like in Phoenix or somewhere in Arizona the other day, and some bozo, some white guy that's real big on Instagram and YouTube. I can't remember his name. He's an idiot. God help him. He's in the mall filming it all, and there's a bunch of suburban white kids in there jumping in. And they're literally breaking windows and looting in a mall in the middle of the night. And then there's all of us people, all these people out there, just videoing the whole thing. Like the one store owner, a guy that was trying to protect the store with a machete. And then 12, 13, 14 people nearly killed him. He looked dead. I've watched that too many times. Beating him with a skateboard. So then you got the Antifa, but you have some people of color out there and whites that are looting. And what do you do with that? You got to parse through that. Somebody says, it's all blacks. No, it isn't. Hey, it's all whites. No, it isn't. Because, like a Puritan writer once said, the seed of every sin exists in every human heart. And then you got the police, most of whom I think are good, but some are bad. And if it's only 2%, holy cow, that's 15,000 around the country. 15,000 police that should not have a job right now. Does that matter? Is that an issue? You bet it is. How do we deal with that? And by the way, look at Minneapolis. That guy, Chavez, whatever his messed up name is, had 18 internal affair complaints about him. They were all resolved. Four of them are like more formal. But 18 in like 10 years? Who keeps a job anywhere with 18 formal complaints? And there was another cop that stood there. He had 5. The other two cops haven't. But who's in charge there? You want me to go political with you? Everybody in charge in Minneapolis, St. Paul, they're all Democrats. Then you got the police union. What's their deal? Protecting their own. You know what I see all over the place? Human depravity. Human depravity, brokenness, sin, evil. Broken, 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 broken. Trump in the Rose Garden yesterday. It was an 800-word statement. 54 of them were directly about George Floyd and the racial issue. 54 out of 800, I thought that was light. He goes across the street to St. John's Episcopal Church, which was started in 1816. By the way, I wouldn't call it a church anymore because it's got a lesbian female priest, and the Episcopal Church largely is completely off the reservation. But he goes over there, you know, a show of strength. I'm willing to walk through the street. We're going to gain control. Some of that's legitimate. Some of that's bravado. Holds up the Bible, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's a photo op. And a lot of people are going, look, he's my hero. And I'm like, oh. Let's all quit idolizing one another. Or quit idolizing people. We're going to disappoint each other always. The guy's fallible, okay? So that bugged me personally. I'm like, do we really need a photo op right now? It's 54 words out of 800. I'm holding it, okay? 54 words out of 800 in the middle of this nightmare about George Floyd and the racial issue and the legitimacy of the protests. To me, that's not enough. It's not even 10%. That's not enough. I understand all the other stuff. We have to have law and order. This is a nation of law and order. We can't give in to chaos. That's why it's so funny to see Cuomo all of a sudden getting on de Blasio, sounding like Trump, by the way. Hey, if de Blasio is not handling it, so if I need to override him, I will. I'm like, didn't I hear somebody else say that in the last 24 hours? Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the president. So this is what I wrote. This is just out of a broken heart. Yes, Martin Luther King Jr. said, a riot is the language of the unheard. A lot of people posting that. But he also said, violence as a way of achieving racial justice is both impractical and immoral. I'm not unmindful of the fact that violence often brings about momentary results. Nations have frequently won their independence in battle. But in spite of temporary victories, violence never brings permanent peace. Nonviolence is not sterile passivity, but a powerful moral force which makes for social transformation. If you succumb to the temptation of using violence in your struggle, unborn generations will be the recipients of a long and desolate night of bitterness. And your chief legacy to the future will be an endless reign of meaningless chaos. This is so prophetic. The more there are riots, the more repressive action will take place, and the more we face the danger of a right-wing takeover and eventually a fascist society. He's saying right-wing in terms of fascism, okay? not Republicans, because he was one. Nonviolence is the answer to the crucial political and moral questions of our time. The need for man to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to oppression and violence. Man must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation. The foundations of such a method is love. Okay, now we're going to go Christian on you. And this is when I started writing. So the ultimate basis for any progress is love. Love of God, love of neighbor, self, truth, justice, peace, charity, compassion, temperance, liberty, and freedom. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Can you see how that might help right now? Until man has been made right with his creator, he will struggle to be made right with his fellow man. This is the essence of the gospel and the teachings of Jesus. By the way, I would call myself a passive racist until I became born again, and then eventually God corrected me and helped me. The church has a place in this conflict, and its place is to be the moral conscience of the nation. Our allegiance is not to the flag or the nation or the pledge or the president or a political party, but to the author and perfecter of our faith. We should honor and respect what we can when it comes to America, but never to the exclusion of or the reduction of God's truth. That's our prophetic edge, by the way. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. You think you're seeing what you see on the video, on Facebook, on Instagram, on everybody's smartphone? That's the physical manifestation of spiritual truth, darkness, lostness. If we were to pray as much or as more as we complain, rant, and rave, I believe we would see miracles begin to happen. If we were to offer the gospel as much or more as we offer our opinions, I believe we would see deep and lasting life change begin to happen. If we were to stand up for true justice, peace, and reconciliation, I believe we would see our institutions begin to follow the same pattern. Some of this is simple, while other parts seem nearly impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Will you commit to do your part? Finally, we must learn to live with the fact that we cannot create heaven on earth. Injustice and violence and abuse and hatred will continue and most likely worsen until the King of Kings returns to set all things right forever. In the meantime, every believer must pursue the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Pray, console, listen, reason, care, sacrifice, serve, mourn, weep, rejoice, confess, repent, forgive, and love. I finish with this, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's your ultimate answer. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could ever dream. This world could ever see. Forever I'm discovered. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. It's good to be back in the studio. And obviously very difficult times, and we'll continue to talk through it, and bear with me. I'm just willing to process through things, okay, and verbally process and share things on the air. I'm going to put a lot of stuff out there, and when we're speaking the truth, generally I'll know I'm being truthful, just the Holy Spirit convicting me one way or the other. And then making sure I can baptize my position with the word of God. But then I'll know when I'm going down the right road because I'll get it from both sides. Like when I say something, when I go negative on Trump, believe me, I get it. I get it sometimes more vitriolic than I get from the left. And when posts are public, I mean, I've gotten stuff from the left when I was down at the Reopen NC rallies and stuff. I'm like, oh my, this is so satanic. And you know what it is? You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Jesus made that clear. You're either in his city or you're in the devil's city. And the devil has, he's the prince of the air, right? Down here, he's got limited power. He's not omniscient. He's not God. But you have to be realist. You have to be a biblical realist. But we better all be walking around with broken hearts. Slow to speak, slow to listen. Slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to listen. Let's go to our buddy David Fisher from Landmark Capital. David, so good to talk to you again. Thank you for allowing me to move some things around as this terrible situation in our nation. And I know we're all grieving over this. And I really particularly appreciate this passage of scripture you used today. I think it's so important for us as Christians to remember this. But it's good to hear from you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm obviously, like you, disturbed with what's going on in our country on every level. And we need to pray.
Yeah,
that's what it really comes down to. So Mark 3:25 says, "If a house is divided, I'm so flustered I can't speak. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So, you know, in a marriage, when it's divided, or some people might say unequally yoked, it has a challenge of staying together and might possibly end in a divorce. A church, when there's a big disagreement and a separation of it, they call it a church split. Society, we have a division happening in society, a wealth gap division, a belief system of division called racism,
yeah.
And that trickles down into the police force, obviously. We have a government that's divided, House and Senate, Democrats versus Republicans. It shows up in symptoms of not having a balanced budget and spending like crazy. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is unity. And God wants to heal our land. And, you know, Romans says, let us make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. And I believe if we grab the horns of the altar, as they say, and repent from our evil ways, and turn and ask God to heal our land. God is able to heal our land.
Amen, that's right.
It's, will we allow him to heal our land?
Yeah.
And that's what this is all about. It's the issue of the heart.
That's right. Will we do our part? And that reminded me of Psalm 133, just verse 1. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. And that's why right now in a nation that's so deeply divided and worse now than we've seen and with everything going on, worse than I've ever seen anything in my lifetime, then we need to remember that as the body of Christ, especially when we have differences on these issues, whether it's politics, whether it's what's going on with the protests and the looting and the police, whatever, that it's so beneficial to us, but such a powerful witness to the world when the world needs Christ more every single day. And Jesus said, they'll know your mind by the way you love one another. So when we're engaging each other, David, on these issues, be it financial, like we're going to talk about now, or political or racial, whatever it is, and you know we're dealing with, if I know you're a believer and you know I'm a believer, we need to strive. It's just like Romans 12. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone, but especially that we have to do that in the family of faith, and it's so important right now, and we have such an opportunity to show that to the world, and because the only answer for all this ultimately is Jesus, as we all know. But anyway, thank you for bringing that passage. So important. So you mentioned a wealth gap, a market gap, the social unrest. So here we are again with the schizophrenic relationship between the market and actual economic factors, and now we have the civil unrest. So help us to kind of put all this stuff together and understand if they have anything to do with each other and how so.
It's a heart issue. Is all this the financial side of things? It's the same issue as the social side of things, which is the same issue of what's going on with the death of George Floyd and how that came about. It's a heart issue that turns up in a belief that gets played out over and over, and pretty soon there's this big gap. You can call it, put the blank in there, and we can say it happens in churches, it happens in race, it happens in color, in creed, it happens in societies, countries against countries, beliefs against China, against Americans, Americans against Chinese. I mean, it happens to Democrats, to Republicans. It happens financially, and there's a huge wealth gap going on. And that's part of why the underlying feeling that's not being really talked about, that is also a part of what these riots are about. There is a huge wealth gap.
Yeah, and oftentimes we have to remember that as most of us are conservatives in one way or another, and you hear wealth gap, and immediately you bow up and go, okay, here we go. The poor have a problem with the rich, and now it's a sin to be rich. It's like I keep cautioning everybody. Hey, listen, we do have a wealth gap. Why we have a wealth gap? There's all kinds of garbage in there, too, in those answers. But you look at our country right now, David, and I know you're going to talk about the market in general. Rome is burning in one way or another, and the market goes up 267 points.
Yeah.
Cool. What is that?
Rome had a wealth gap. It burned.
Yeah.
And it is no longer a superpower. Why? Because it was an issue of the heart that was played out in the government that led society a certain direction, and there was a revolt. And that's what's happening here, modern day Rome, in essence. Yeah. It's just being played out in a small segment, and what triggered it, again, is racism and death. But Ray Dalio, I talked about him before. He's the largest hedge fund manager in the world. And so this, I did some studying, because I was like, this is all triggering and firing off my spirit, and like I'm remembering what I read. So 2 years ago, Ray Dalio wrote up what was happening today. In fact, I got his big book called The Big Debt Crisis. But this, he talked about, here's what he said. 2 years ago, there will be a downturn likely in the next couple of years. By my reckoning, investors, companies, politicians, and policymakers will all be blindsided or worse. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Coronavirus. Yeah. Okay. He goes on to say there's significant other problems that will happen in 2 or 3 years because the combined effects of debt, pension, healthcare burden, the wealth and opportunity gap that creates popularity and populism, which was less effective by central bank policies, making it more difficult to change, reverse to the downturn. He goes on and said, there's coming a Great Depression of great magnitude. There will be social unrest, and this is not going to pan out and fix itself quickly. In fact, it's going to go on for almost a decade, he said.
Wow.
And he's the one that said, and I hate to even talk about this part because this is not the focus, but he talked about 2 years ago getting gold in your portfolio when gold was under $1,300 and now we're at $1,736. So he's still advocating gold. He's still advocating these unfortunate things. And the budget office came out today and said the economy will not return to normal until 2030. Our own government is saying this is not a quick fix. This is a big problem. In fact, Ray said they should set up some sort of a national emergency community he said this 2 years ago, this is a national emergency. And it's going to turn into a big problem. And he went even further to say, we're in the 1935 to 1940, and 2 years ago, he was there in 1937, and so we're probably 1939 now. So the Fed's already created a lot of money, throwing the system, but didn't fix it. We're still in the ramifications of a depression back then. And then he went on to say, unless this is fixed, this is going to turn into turbulence, and we could possibly see this turning into a global war. Because it's the core of society. And look what in January, he talked about, Steve, about the president and the Chinese president, Xi, butting heads, and this could escalate into some sort of, not just a trade war, but maybe something more. So he says, I don't want that. But this is all about a power struggle, a feeling, a lack of not having, some jealousy. It's an issue of the heart.
Yep.
And the unfortunate thing is, it's the only way it's going to go away is if we humble ourselves and say, I'm content with what you have for me.
Yeah, that's hard. It's so hard for all of us to do that. And that's why, and again, that's, we live in the here and the now. We long for the there and the then, David. And we look at a market that's going crazy, even as it's going up right now, even as Rome burns.
Yep.
We're going to be $4 trillion over our budget this year. The national debt going, $30 trillion. And now they're saying themselves, we're not going to get back to normal, which I would put big fat air quotes around. What is even normal anymore until 2030? And so build your house on the rock, not on the sand. Financially, you got to diversify. We talk about that all the time. And then spiritually, yep. I would just ask everybody, if it all ended tomorrow, do you know for darn sure that you would go straight to heaven because Jesus is your one and only road there? It has nothing to do with what you think is your righteousness. It has everything to do with His. So get your house in order financially and otherwise. LandmarkGold.com is the website with David and his team. You hear his heart. And that's why we're still on the radio together, because we love the Lord more than we love any of this stuff. LandmarkGold.com is the website, or 844-879-8882. I love you, David. Thanks for being on.
I love you too, my brother, and love America.
Amen. We'll talk to you real soon. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon, like my dad always used to say, ever forward.